So, amen. Thank you guys so very much. And we are going to just take a minute to ask God to settle our hearts and direct our focus to his word. So let's just take that time to do that right now. Father God, thank you for your word. I just pray, Lord God, that you would just work in our hearts and our minds. I pray, Father, that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word in a way that only you can. Take out the distractions, Lord. There is a innumerable number of things, Lord, on our minds, probably on our hearts. We're thinking about what's happened this afternoon, worrying about the cares of our lives and thinking about what we're going to do. But I pray, dear God, that you would speak to us right now in just the way that we need it. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us insight. Help me, Lord, to be clear as I preach. And I pray, dear God, that you would just really speak to our hearts. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we go to our first slide there, remember we're doing a series, right, called Facing Our Foes, Big and Small. And we got a whole lot of challenges in our life that we deal with. And by the way, here's the key thing. I want you to write this word down in your notes right away. Write down this word. Better. We got to be better, right? There's nothing that's going to change all that stuff coming at you. But what's going to change it is how we field it as we field it as better. And I want to encourage you guys that that's what we need to be thinking about this morning. So we got to grow personally to overcome the enemies, by the way, that often defeat us. And there's a lot. And I want to just share and just have to think about our title this morning is this one of our enemies is this idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness, not the enemy. Forgiveness is the solution for the enemy of bitterness. And I know there's nobody here that has this problem, but it'll be good when you go home and you can tell all your friends, right? Right? It's challenging. By the way, it's great to see Marion back with us. I know they were away, and praise God, Marion. Good to see you back with us. So we want to just remember these things, that forgiveness is, and by the way, write this down too, better beats bitter. It really does, right? Bitter has its challenges. We'll look at that. So here's the thought. Can you kind of relate to this? Our world seems to abound with bitterness. Can I get an amen on that, right? There's like so much nastiness out there. But you hear words like people say, man, that guy is venomous. Well, the venom comes from the bitter in the heart. That's where it comes from, right? So there's a lot of bitterness out there, and bitter people are everywhere. And people that are hurt, they hurt everybody else on a regular basis. And man, what a mess it is. It's a huge mess out there, right? So can we escape this as followers of Christ? And the answer, by the way, is yes, and we can live on a higher level. So we're going to look at God's word and kind of talk about how we're going to get there. So let's just kind of move on. So get this in your mind. Here's the eternal truth that you want to take home with you today. I'm sorry about this, but bitterness is a sin. But it's a sin of the shadows. In other words, like sometimes we don't think we're bitter, and we'll talk about how we can detect that. You know, we think it's someone else or our situation or, I got up on the wrong side of the bed today. And, you know, we use all this phraseology, but the real root of the problem is in our hearts, and it's called bitterness. And we're going to look at that. So here's the deal. Here's the fix, right? And by the way, this doesn't seem so easy either, but we'll talk about it. Genuine forgiveness replaces bitterness with betterness. And that's what we got to kind of focus on. Forgiveness doesn't seem easy always, but we'll talk about that. And it really defeats this foe. So we're gonna jump right into that. So I want you guys to step back with me for a quick second. And by the way, Pastor Ansu, he stepped all over our toes. How many people have bruised toes last week? All over. I think he got my foot, my ankle, my calf, everything, right? And we talked about some of these issues, right? And I want to talk about this facing our foes. And I want to kind of frame this in a picturesque kind of way. I want to think about it this way. Think about your life as a garden. Anybody garden? Hey, man. Anybody got a garden of weeds? Right? No matter what you do, those things, if it rains, you get weeds. If it doesn't rain, you get weeds. You know, it just comes, right? But I want to think of it this way. Our lives are like a garden, and all the forces of nature are trying to destroy it. Does that make sense? All right, and I'll share with you, just kind of a couple of funny story, like from our house. Like we have flowers, and we have a couple tomato plants and some herbs and all that stuff, right? And it just seems like the whole world is trying to wreck our garden. You know. By the way, this year it's been hot, right? And it's going to be hot for Bible school this week, right? It's going to be hot. So the heat, right? You know, the plants yesterday, they're like, you know, wilted, like, you know, the heat is tough on them. Think about the wind, and then we get these crazy thunderstorms, and it just beats everything down. There's the wind, and then the rain. It seems like when we get it like in gallons, and then we don't get it for a while, and everything kind of, you know, cooks and barbecues up. So that's kind of working against us. I let my dog out just the other day, and this rabbit, we have like the boldest rabbit in Burlington. And I saw him, and my dog likes to chase him. He's not like a monster dog where he eats him up or anything, but he was on him, and that rabbit somehow got through the fence like lightning. But he's eating up all. We have zinnia flowers. I love zinnias, by the way. All different colors on the same stem. It was amazing. But this rabbit is just like sitting there, and he eats up all the leaves all the way up the stem. And then we put this thing in to keep the stem standing up straight, and the rabbit kind of leans on that, and it gets him up further. Like all these things are just working against it. You know, not only the rabbits. And then this year in our garden, we have this apple tree. It's a Gala apple tree, and we've had it for like since our kids, but it's probably 20 years, right, Jane? At least 20 years, I think. And this year, I mean, we had the biggest apples, and the branches are like hanging down. And when I cut the grass, you know, I got to be careful I don't knock the apples off. And this is like 2 weeks ago. But guess what? The squirrels got together. Seriously, like there is not one apple on the tree now. Not one. Not one. It's like, and I want to throw this out. And I say that, it's kind of funny. Isn't that how life feels sometimes? It just seems like everything, right, is coming at us, and it's making our life difficult. And we're trying our hardest to fend off all this stuff, but it just seems like we can't do it, right? All these forces are happening. And I want to say this. That's what we've been talking about in this series. You know, anger pops up, right? And again, these are all things, by the way, that they all kind of hide in the shadows. Are you angry? No, I'm not angry. Right? You know, as Christians, are you worried? No, I'm just concerned. You know, I'm not worried, right? You know, fear, are you afraid? No, I'm not afraid of anything. You know, right? All these things that kind of hides in the shadows. Anxiety, you know, are you anxious? Oh, no, I'm good. You know, so I'm good. Sadness, depression, right? Pastor Anthony last week, pride. You know, it just like permeates every single thing. You're trying to be nice and be Christ-like, and bam, pride pops up and, you know, it changes your speech, your thinking, and everything else, right? So all these things are there. So I just want to ask this question today. And I read this in Daily Bread, and it really spoke to my heart this week, too. Jesus said this to his disciples, just like us. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he might abide with you forever. And by the way, that helper is every single one of us as believers in Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit. And here's how we know. Every time we do these dumb things or we do these things that are wrong, you're like, oh. And you feel guilt. And by the way, we don't want to just take away guilt. Guilt's like, hey, we got to check what's going on here, right? And we feel that guilt. And it says, the Spirit of truth whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. And he dwells with you and he'll be in you. And I want to share this. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you guys and to me as we hear these messages, like powerful messages like last week, Pastor Anthony on pride? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is he really fleshing out and ferreting out these sins that are hiding in the shadows of our lives? And I think he really, really is. And I want to just kind of take that down. I want to just ask a couple questions. What has the Holy Spirit revealed? And I'm going to throw this out. I better look up for a second. The Holy Spirit sometimes, you know how he reveals things to us? In the trials. Like we think we're good, and then all of a sudden something happens, and the ugly side comes out. know, and by the way, we keep it in check on Sunday. We're good at keeping the ugly side kind of in check after we get to church. I'm not sure what it's like in your house before you get to church and when you go home from church, right? Especially if you got kids that are young, right? But at church, we're good. We got it, right? We're good, right? We got it. But I want to say this. What's the Holy Spirit saying? What are the trials revealing in us? Because I think the Holy Spirit's speaking loud. And sometimes we're like, kind of like, you know, Jane would be saying, can you do that? Can you do that? And sometimes you're just like, ah. And, you know, and I'm sorry, babe. But don't we do that to the Holy Spirit, though, sometimes? Yeah, like, you know, no, it can't be me. It must be someone else, not me, right? And I just want to challenge us. What's he saying, right? So how's your walk with God today? How's your faith? How's your trust? What do you really value in this life, right? Are you, and I'll throw this out today, are you better or are you changing in negative ways? And I'm going to throw this out, and I've seen this in our church and other people around too. Sometimes I'll throw this out, as we grow older, you know, by the way, Hobie, 90, man, that's amazing, right? Right, praise God, right? As we grow older, a lot of times we as people, we lose our filter, we lose our kindness, our impatience gets bigger, our rudeness is greater. That's terrible, right? That's not how it's supposed to work, right? And by the way, I'm getting older. Like I'm over 60. What? You know, and I don't want to be that, right? I don't want to be that ugly old person. Physically or spiritually, right? Right? So that's what we want to talk about today. We're kind of digging in and getting into some real stuff. So let's define terms real fast this morning. So we're talking about this issue, right, called bitterness. You know, and again, if I ask you guys, are you bitter? No, man, come on. You know, I don't have a problem with that. And here's the fix. We'll define forgiveness as well. So let's just take a look. What is this thing called bitterness? And I want to explain it a little bit today. And I want you guys to think about this. And I found this. There's, you know, a million dictionaries online. And this one was called Better Words Online. But it's really good because it was kind of real practical. So check this out. Here's the idea of bitterness, right? Bitterness is the emotional state of being deeply unhappy. You know, and I think so. We've probably experienced that. Maybe we're experiencing that right now. There's situations in life that are making us deeply unhappy, right? And by the way, it could be situations, and it could be people. It could be both things. And sometimes we're even unhappy with God because he left us in this situation. But here's the idea. Being deeply unhappy, and it comes in, turns into resentfulness due to a perceived injustice, betrayal, or unfavorable circumstances. Like, you know, you say, I can't believe they did that to me. Right? And maybe you've been there. Maybe you're now in your job. How could they get rid of me? All the other people, they don't do no work. And they kept them. You know, we think those ways, right? So bitterness, by the way, often arises from experiences of loss, failure, or prolonged conflict. And I'll throw this out. I'll give you an example. Caregiving. Anybody care for someone for a long time? It just kind of gets your goat after a while. You know, that's a good example of that, right? Or a conflict where you can't resolve an issue with someone, be it your spouse, your kids, you know, your work associates, whoever it might be. Bitterness is this ugly thing that comes out of that, right? And it, by the way, it has a lingering sense of negativity and hostility. And here's why. Everybody look up. Because we are hurt. And you heard that phrase, and I sort of kind of used it earlier on. They say, hurt people, hurt people. You know, it's kind of like that's sort of our normal reaction, right? Remember, Jesus said, turn the other cheek, but we want to turn the right cross. You understand the difference, right? And that's not the right thing. So hurt people do hurt people. And it can manifest itself in various aspects of life, including personal relationships, professional settings like our jobs, or broader societal dynamics. And we kind of see it across our society today. Like everybody's angry about something, right? It seems like, right? So bitterness, by the way, can consume an individual. It's awful, right? It's like a cancer that just eats you up. And it affects our outlook, our behavior, our interactions with others. I want you guys, write this down, write this idea about interaction with others, and write this phrase down. Relationships reveal our heart. And I'll throw this out. If you're having a problem in every relationship, it probably isn't everybody else, it's probably you. Makes sense, right? You know, it's a common denominator here in this equation, right? So that's the idea of this idea of bitterness, too. And, you know, lingering sense of anger and resentment that's difficult to overcome, often coloring one's perceptions. Do you know anybody like this, right, that they can find a dark cloud in every silver lining? You know anybody like that? Like they're so negative. Oh, you know, this just happened. It's amazing. Oh, it's not going to last. Right? That's what I'm talking about. And you know people like that, right? So again, those things are kind of lights that are coming on your check engine panel that you got to say, whoa, what's going on here? What's happening here, right? So we got to understand what that is. And by the way, and we'll talk about those other things in a second. So bitterness can have a detrimental effect on your emotional well-being, of course, hindering your personal growth. By the way, it's a lousy testimony. You know, can you imagine, like, you know, hey, I'm a Christian. And then people say, oh, my God. You know, if that's what you are, I don't think I want to be that. You know what I mean? So, like, bitterness can be that thing, right? So you got to be careful with that. And it hinders all those things. And kind of like this working definition I thought was kind of helpful. Bitterness is a, and get this, a sinful response to the hurts of life that is manifested, and get this in our minds, in our thoughts, our words, our attitudes, and it reveals our heart. And you remember, by the way, remember Jesus said this, and you can, I didn't put all the verses up because we'd be here forever, but remember Jesus said this, he said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. It happened to me this week, by the way. It's kind of a funny story. Jane, by the way, and she's like, we're doing a lot to care for her brother-in-law, and she said, you know, this was Friday. She says, hey, you know what? I'm going to go take care of him this morning. I know you got, like, a lot going on. It's VBS. There's a thousand things you're trying to do. I'm like, oh, that'd be great. So I'm thinking I'm going to get here early. Everything's going to be good. I'm going to get my stuff done. I'm going to be ready. I won't be so stressed. Jane, how long did it take before you called me? Jane's hiding behind the lady back there. Yeah. But check it out. So what happened is, so Jane's going to take care of her brother, take care of his meds and food and all the stuff we take care of every single day. And she ran over this, I never seen it, like it wasn't a nail, it wasn't a screw, it was like the kind of hook that you hang your shovel on in the garage. Like it had this big long thing with a curve on it and everything. And it's in the tire of the car. So I'm like, okay. So I drove over, took the tire off, you know, and put it in the trunk. And it, by the way, thank God, the lugs came off easy. It was like amazing. Praise God. So then I dropped Jane back home. I jump in the van. We have that, you know, that old van. Doesn't have air conditioning, but it's like, all right, it drives, right? And as I get out the car, my computer bag, as I get ready to get in the car, I should say, the computer bag, the zipper kind of opens up. And my laptop falls right into the street. And I'm like, ah! Right? And you ever had a day like that? By the way, God is good. I'm going to share. Because I got to church, and I went to plug it in, and I couldn't plug in the power cord because it was bent. Not the power cord, but the computer body itself. So fortunately, I had that old car with my toolbox in it, and it had a pair of channel lock pliers, and I was able to bend the computer so the cord fits. And believe it or not, it's kind of funny because I dropped this computer a while ago. The cord actually fits better now. It's crazy. I can't believe it. But, you know, God has a sense of humor, right? But I say that to say this. I'm just like, ah! You know? And you ever had those moments? Right? And yeah, right? Amen, right? So this is hitting us right where we're living. I'm not trying to walk on your toes or kick you in your knee either, but Pastor Ansley did enough last week with that. But here we go. So this working definition is it affects all this stuff, right? And it reveals what's going on, and out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. But it results from unforgiveness and a lack of resolution. So that's kind of the issue. So let's talk about how we're going to fix this thing. This thing is a monster. How are we going to fix it? So let me skip on down. Boom. That means I talk too long when the clicker doesn't work. Oh, I broke it. Take it down one slide, please, if you will. Boom, there it is, forgiveness. So check it out. Forgiveness, and I want you guys, I found this definition, by the way, it's so good. And here's the funny thing. The English language, by the way, is interesting, isn't it? Because like, there's like, you know, we say love. You know, I love my wife. I love pizza. I love soccer. You know, I love you guys. What does it all mean? It's kind of muddy. Like, what does that mean, love, right? What's that all about? Well, this word, the idea of forgiveness, in the Greek language, it has two words. And they kind of really focus us on what forgiveness looks like, because forgiveness kind of puts out the fire of bitterness and it allows us to live life in the way that God wants us to live. And the truth of God, if we forgive, sets us free from all this other junk that we struggle with, right? So I appreciate this. And this author wrote this. He says, what I love about God's use of these two words is that they describe magnificently the nature of the human transaction of forgiveness. And I want to say one thing first. Our ability to forgive each other comes from God's ability to forgive us. But we read that in Ephesians, right? Forgive each other as Christ forgave you and me, right? That's the idea, right? So he says this. He says, when we forgive, and here's one of the words. The word, by the way, is charizomai. I put it there. You hear that word? It sounds like charismatic, charisma, right? But it has this idea. That what that means in the Greek language, it comes from a root word of called charis, and it means grace. So the root of forgiveness is grace. We see each other the way God sees us. And here's the funny thing. Aren't we good? We're really good at disguising the mess that we are. You know, we wear all kinds of makeup. Some of it we buy at the store, and some of it we just sort of, you know, we fake all these things, right? So, but the idea here is grace. And here's the idea of grace is, and forgiveness. We forgive, right? When we forgive, we have to cancel the debt that we believe someone owes us. So that's one side of forgiveness. In other words, and by the way, anybody ever lend anybody money? Raise your hand. Come on. Be real. Raise your hand. Come on. Right? Keep your hand. If they still owe you, keep your hand up. Right? So they owe you the debt, and some of you guys are saying, and doggone it, I'm going to get it. Right? I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it back. Right? I'm going to get it back. Right? That's our human idea, but the idea is we cancel the debt. They hurt us with their words. They hurt us with what they did. They hurt us in all kinds of ways, maybe with the emotions or whatever they did or didn't do. But we're saying, you know what? I am going to cancel the debt. And that's part of it, by the way. And I'll throw this out. That sort of, forgiveness kind of has like two steps. We'll talk about this more in a second. But the idea is that in my heart, when I see you, I'm not seeing a ledger that says you owe $1,000. When I see you, I'm saying, that's my brother and that's my sister. I'm not seeing the debt because the debt is canceled like your debt with God is canceled of sin. Right? That makes sense, right? And then here's the next thing. And he says this. He says, the person owes me an apology. In our hearts, we conclude that we deserve better treatment. But according to Ephesians 4:32, we are to forgive others as God has forgiven us. That means concluding they don't owe us anything. Okay? That's what we're trying to get to, that place, right? And then here's the other word. The word is afiemi, and you see there in yellow. And it just says, when we forgive someone with the idea of Luke chapter 7, verse 47. And here's the other part of forgiveness. So by the way, everybody look out for me. Work with me real quick today. So the first part of forgiveness is what? The debt is what? The debt is paid. The debt is canceled. If they owe you something, it's canceled. It's void. It's no longer a debt. It's done, right? Here's the second part. I don't know why my mic is not working too good, but it is characterizing my week, so probably that's what happens, right? Here's the next word, though. The next word is this word, afiemi, right, which says, let something go. Right? And that's what the word means. By the way, the two words are used for forgiveness in the New Testament. First one is what? The debt is canceled, like your sin. The second piece is what? Let it go. And I'll throw this out. God lets it go after we've sinned. When we seek God's forgiveness, right? By the way, the debt of sin that we have, Jesus paid it all, past, present, future, and God doesn't hold it against us anymore. So when we sin against God, our relationship with God gets a little fractured or distanced, and the way we fix that is by confessing our sin to God. And what does God do? God doesn't keep hounding you. I remember you sinned last Thursday, and I'm going to keep telling you about it, and telling you about it, and telling you about it, and telling you about it. Does God do that? No, he doesn't do that, right? So that's this idea, and I want you guys to get that in our mind. So when we forgive someone with the idea of afiemi, the other word, we let something go. We don't bring it up again. We don't let it take over our hearts. Key thing about bringing it up again, a lot of times we like to kind of keep a debt in our pocket, because when it happens again, then we can kind of heap it on and get them and persuade them to do what we want. Not the biblical idea of forgiveness, right? Not the idea. So, bam, we're going to move. We got to move on. So, I'm going to skip this verse. Would you guys write this passage down? Luke chapter 7, verses 41 and 48. It uses both of these words so we sort of get the full picture of what it means to forgive from God's perspective, right? So we're going to slide on from that. And I want to just describe this real quick. This is where, Pastor Anson, can I borrow your boots for a second? All right. This is where we're going to step on toes, mine and yours, right? So check it out. Describing realities. And by the way, this is what bitterness looks like in real life. Okay, so y'all look at this. Think about this for a second. If anyone asked me if I was bitter, what would we all say? Right? Nope. Even in church, we might lie in church, right? No, I'm not bitter. I'm cool. Right? So we would say, if I was bitter, I would say no, and I would also say that I forgive others just like Jesus said. But here's the question. Is it true? And that's where God's got to work in our hearts, right? Because here's the idea. I want us to take a look at ourselves. Everybody, how's your attitude this morning? Okay. How is your impatience? Anybody been described having a short fuse? I've seen people seem like they have no fuse at all. Right? Short fuse. Sometimes we talk not in a joking way, but sarcastically. Right? How's your frustration level? Anybody got the veins coming out their neck this morning? How are your words? How are your reactions and your responses to stuff that ain't working out so good, right? Are you critical of everything? Think about that. Some people, and we can be that easily. We just criticize everything. You know, can't find anything good in anything anyone else does. We're critical, right? And you know, I use that idea about relationships. Relationships being that window of our soul. How's our relationships? If they're all busted up, that's probably a good indicator, right? And the state of my heart and my bitterness. And I want to throw this out. Does the Holy Spirit confirm these issues in your character today? You feeling it? Like going like, yeah. Like any of those things are kind of like red flags, you know? What's going on? Especially if it's kind of a consistent flavor of our lives. We kid around with Guy and Terry, right? What do we call you guys, Guy? The GOMs, grumpy old men, right? But praise God, they're reforming by the grace of God, right? Yeah, and they told me I'm part of them now once I turn 60, so I got to watch my back, right? Right? So we're all part of that, right? But and we kind of say it as a joke, and we laugh at each other because we're always picking each other all week long, all day long. But like that's a challenge. And Dennis, by the way, could be part of that too. Yeah, right. Yeah. But we gotta be careful because he's a treasure and he can hurt us. You know, he can get back at us, right? But like in a serious way, we got to kind of look at ourselves and say, how are we doing? What's going on here? Is there something we got to really deal with, maybe forgive someone, because it's just impacting everything else that we do? And I'll throw this out real quick. The work of bitterness is this. Is this an issue for me? Here's what bitterness does. We compare. How come my life is so stinky and theirs is so good? Right? That's bitterness, right? It's not fair. Disappointment, bitterness, like we're kind of disappointed, and then we become really discontented. You know, we're just like miserable all the time. And that begins to kind of then sow this discord and division in our relationships, right? And then ultimately it just destroys us and impacts everybody around us. So guess what, y'all? We got to get rid of this monster called bitterness. We got to get rid of this thing. And that's what we're going to talk about next, right? So how we do that? And I'm going to give you guys, say, just six things. So it's not a long lot of things, but six things to think about. Here's the first one. And by the way, Scripture just speaks this issue all over the place, New and Old Testament. We're going to look at some of the passages. So the first one, I just want to take a couple minutes to describe. And Moses, you read this again. But I want you guys to get this in our mind. Principle number one, everybody look up. We are new in Christ. So the new has got to replace the old. We're new in Christ. And look what he says. He says, Paul says these words to the Ephesians, by the way. And they're a church that had it pretty together. They were doing some good stuff, right? He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles. And by the way, that word Gentiles means like the nations. And the idea is the people that don't know God walk a certain way. And he says, you guys who are believers in Christ shouldn't be walking that way no more in the futility of your old thinking in your mind. You know, and our old thinking in our mind is, you know what? Me first. I'm going to get what I deserve. I'm going to demand it. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to be ugly if I need to be ugly. Right? Is that what the church of Christ ought to look like? And Paul's like, no, come on. Right? So he says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's why these folks can't really do it the right way. Because of their ignorance that is in them, they're not really able to take in the word of God well. Because of the blindness of their heart needs to be changed. You know, I put down 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, what's that say? Somebody start it for me. Right? Yeah. We are new in Christ, right? It says old things pass away. And by the way, don't miss this word. All things become new, right? So there ought to be a different look to us as believers, on to the people that are on the inside of our relationships and even the world outside. Like, you shouldn't be the loudest complainer in the Walmart return line. Like, it shouldn't be that way. I know they ripped you off. I know the piece with, you know, what you had was garbage, but don't be rude, right? Resolve it. Get your money. Get your new thing. But don't beat the clerk up. Like, don't need to do that, right? And that's what he's talking about here, right? That's not what we ought to be. And he says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But he says, but you haven't learned Christ that way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, and look what it says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Put him off. And by the way, just to be fair, put the old woman off too. Okay? Whatever you got, put it off, right? Whatever that old stuff was, put it off. You know, we kid around. This is like the Ephesians boutique, right? You walk in some crazy-looking clothes, and you walk out looking like Jesus, right? That's the idea, what we're talking about here. Put it off. He says, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old man's corrupt. You know why? Because he's just fighting to get his share. But we got all of our share in Christ. We got everything we need. And he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, right? So that's the idea of replacement, right? We're going to put the old man off And we're going to put the new man on, we're going to put the old woman off, and we're going to put the new woman on. I'm getting some evil eyes. You can guess what side of the house that came from, right? Right? All right, here we go. So principle number one, right? We got to do that, right? And look what he says. I'm just going to skip on down. By the way, he gives us a whole laundry list of issues. They all kind of work together. He says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one speak the truth. So it said, put off what? Your lying ways. Put on speaking truth. And the Bible extends that even. Speak the truth in love to each other, right? Put that on instead. I'm going to skip down and look at verse 30. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's a great, by the way, I'm not sure if that really goes with the point above it or goes with this point or connects the two together. I think it really does that. But the idea is the Holy Spirit of God is in you and he's trying to change you. So don't grieve him by just being the old man or the old woman. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. He's trying to make you what God wants you to be, right? And he says, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, he says, and get this, let, and what's the next word? All bitterness. All. Yeah, I know some people deserve your bitterness, right? Am I? I give you a hard way to go. Let all bitterness, even those that deserve it, don't give it to them. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, you know, wrath and anger like our cousins, right? One is this like anger that's like ferocious, and one is like a simmering, seething anger that blows up eventually, right? But put those things off. Clamor, talking bad about everybody, evil speaking, put it away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's what's supposed to happen. And by the way, here's the cool thing about forgiveness. It's not only going to make your friends and neighbors and family feel good, it's going to make you be good. It's going to make you feel good. It's going to make your life be different. And that's what God wants us to do, right? He's saying that. And because we're new creatures in Christ, right? We're a new creation. And I'm just going to skip down just in case you're wondering. You might say, well, that's only in the Bible one time. You know, right? Well, guess what? And turn my slide. There it is. It's actually there twice. Because Colossians, which is another book written to a young church, says the same thing. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. By the way, you know what long-suffering is typically? It's that bearing with another person who gets on your nerves. Now I know there's nobody here like that. Right? That's what it is, right? So bear with them, right? And he says that. He actually used that word. He says, if anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. And I want you guys to get this verse. This kind of like drives us home a little bit. Notice the fruit of the Spirit coming to bear. What's it say there? Like the Spirit of God is cultivating this fruit in us, you know, and sometimes the squirrels and the rabbits are trying to pull it away, but he's cultivating this fruit, right? He's trying to say, look at this thing, tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, right? Those are, most of them are fruits of the Spirit, which is really good there. And he said, these changes happen in the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, notice the broad extent of this command. I want you all to get this. Notice what it says. It says, if anyone has a complaint against you. Ooh, that's pretty broad universe there, isn't it? If anyone has that complaint, we got to watch out, right? We got to deal with that, right? So we're going to skip on down. That's principle number one. So principle number one, tell me what it is real fast. We are new in Christ. Replace who? The old man and the old woman. Get them out of here, right? And let's put on the clothes from the Ephesians boutique and the fruit of the Spirit, right? In the power of God, right? That's the thing. So we're shooting down. What's principle number two? Forgiveness has process, but no limits. Let's talk about it. Look what it said. By the way, this is found in the book of Matthew, right? And Luke as well. But, you know, the Gospels, Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke Sometimes, same story, different angle to look at it, helps us to better understand it in real life, right? And it says, and he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come. Everybody look up for a second. Get this in your mind, right? You are not going to live too many days on this earth where someone's not going to offend you. Or you're not going to offend somebody else. He says, it is impossible that no offense should come. By the way, that day is coming, but it's when we're in heaven. Or the new heaven and the new earth, right? That day is not now. But he says, but woe to him to whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones, be it a child or a young believer in Christ, right? But look what he says. He says, and get this in our minds, right? Because here's the deal. We might say, well, that message was good. It was kind of funny, but that's not my issue. He says this. He says, take heed to yourselves. Because if we're honest, by the way, this is an issue for me, and I'm trying to teach the message. Like, I can be ugly. You guys see me at church, I get beautiful. But I'm joking. But I try to get beautiful, right? I try hard. But, man, in real life, in shoe leather, sometimes we can be ugly. The Holy Spirit's dialing someone up right now. Right? So here's the thought, right? And look what he says. He says, take heed, if your brother sins against you, and by the way, here's this issue that we're not good at this, by the way, because we never want someone, even in church, to tell us we did something wrong. We don't want our husbands, our wives, we don't want anybody to say we did anything wrong or something's not right. Isn't that true? We like to be right, right? And we don't want to be confronted. We don't like that, right? But the Bible says if someone sins against you, rebuke them. That doesn't mean, scream at them. Doesn't mean be ugly with them. It means just say, you really hurt me, right? Or, I'm offended by what you said. So he says, rebuke him. And it says, and if he repents, by the way, there's sort of a little bit of a condition there. What's it say? Forgive him. And we'll explain this in just a second. So by the way, just get this in your minds. So if someone does what? Repents. Repent means what? I've gone the wrong way. I turn around and go the right way. And the idea of repentance is change. And they admit it. They humbly say, I was wrong. I committed a sin. I hurt you, right? It says if they repent, what's it say? Forgive them all the way. And forgiveness means what? Debt's canceled. What do we do? Gotta say it with me. It's really important to walk away with this today. Debt's canceled. Let it go. You kind of let go, let it go. Debt's canceled. Let it go. Debt's canceled, let it go, right? By the way, isn't that hard for us? We can say in our heart, oh, the debt's canceled, but letting it go is a tall order sometimes, right? But that's what he wants us to do. Forgive them. And he says, if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, what do you got to do? What do we do? Are you here again? I already forgave you six times. What's wrong with you? Right? Isn't that what we do? But he says, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, because that's how Jesus forgives us. But praise God, God doesn't, he can count way higher than seven because we've been to him that many times. Right? For real, right? And then here's the point, once you take this out of this. It's impossible that no offenses will come. Forgiveness for us as Christians is vital to live life on this earth or you will go crazy. And you will make enemies of everybody. Forgiveness is so critical, right? Here's the next one. Sin requires rebuke. Forgiveness demands repentance. But let me say this. Everybody look up. Get this clear for me right on this point, right? Here's the point. This doesn't mean that you hold this against them because they didn't repent. This doesn't mean you treat them ugly, you don't talk to them. This doesn't mean that. This means that in your heart, you have canceled the debt. The consummation of that in your relationship happens when they repent. Does that make sense? So we're not holding this out. Well, I got my list of people who I haven't forgiven because they haven't come to me yet. And I'll throw this out. Here's why that's important. You know what? There's people that have offended you that aren't on earth anymore. How are we ever going to resolve that problem? There's people that, by the way, there's people that have wronged you. And if you don't fix that in your heart, it's going to wreck your whole life. They're out there living their life, doing their thing, and they don't think or care about anything that happens. Right? So we got to, in our heart, forgive them, be ready and always willing to forgive. And when they come to us, we can then embrace them in repentance, and our relationship is made whole. That makes sense. It's so important, right? And the last point there, real quick, is obvious, right? There's no limit to forgiveness. And by the way, the corollary verse to that, which is Matthew 18, 70 times 7. I don't know about you, but I can't keep score on anybody up to 490. Right? Not really good. So there you go. Forgiveness, right? Has process, right? It does what? It demands repentance, but it has no limit. And it requires telling someone they wronged you because they may not even know. Right? Really important. Okay? So boom, we're moving on. Point number three, real fast. My forgiveness of others impacts me. You know, we sang the Lord's Prayer for a reason this morning. Check out the Lord's Prayer. It says, Jesus said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. But then look what it says. This is you talking to God and me talking to God. And forgive us our debts. By the way, don't you want, raise your hand, you want God to forgive your sin? Who's up for that? Amen, right? God, please forgive my sin. As we forgive our debtors, those who sinned against us. So if God forgives me as well as I forgive others, I could be in a really bad spot. What do you think? Because we want to kind of hold on to the debt, right? But here's the point, by the way. But this does not necessarily mean that God doesn't forgive your sin, because your sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ. But here's what it does mean. If you don't forgive others and you're embittered toward them, you are never going to experience in life the joy of the salvation and forgiveness God has given you. That makes sense? Like, God's forgiven you, and you know, us going around being unforgiving to everybody else, we are never going to experience that freedom, that joy, that burden being gone the way God wants it to, if we can't give that away to everybody else. That's kind of the point. So notice the repetition in the Lord's Prayer. He says it again at the end. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Ooh, that's a really scary verse there, right? It says, I will not experience the full and complete joy of forgiveness unless I forgive others. Right? So we got that, right? So my forgiveness of others impacts me in a big way. How about number four? Bitterness must be removed at the root. Let's go back to our gardens again. Anybody got dandelions in their yard? You know what dandelions are? You know, in New Jersey and down south, they eat those things. Right? They're good or not, but they do, right? But dandelions, right? Do you ever sometimes, like, they're in your lawn or something, or they're in your garden, and you kind of just break it off? Guess what happens? About 5 days later, it's back. Because the root's still there, and it is very alive. Right? It's very alive. And that's what the Lord says here. Look what he says in Hebrews 12. He says, and by the way, Hebrews 12, right, is this pathway of walking and living the Christian life. And he says in the beginning, he says, since we've been surrounded by this crowd of witnesses of the men and women of faith, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. I'm going to throw this out. You know what bitterness is? Bitterness is one of those weights and sin that just slows you down to a stop. And right in the same passage in chapter 12, he says this. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And look what he says next. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And I want to encourage you. By the way, this passage has some interesting interpretations. The simple interpretation is this. is that if there is bitterness in your heart, you got to get it out at the root. And the way to do that is forgiveness. And I know that can be a process if you've been hurt in awful ways, but we got to start the process, right? So bitterness is a sin and a weight that easily ensnares us. Pluck it out. Get it out. Get the whole thing out. Okay? Last principle, number 5. Boom, there it is, right? Forgiveness is a weapon for spiritual warfare. And I gave us 2 passages, right? Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. And we're going to kind of close out on this thought and a couple other ones at the end. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Get this in our minds, you guys, right? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Isn't that true? The biggest battle I have is not, you know, Pastor Ann said, we do not rough it up during the week here. That is not our battle. Our battle is spiritual, it's wickedness, it's sin, it's emotion, it's all that stuff. And that's your battle too. And he says, we wrestle against what? Principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. For though we walk in the flesh, this is 2 Corinthians, we do not war in our flesh. We're not going to get rid of forgiveness or get rid of these bad people by physically assaulting them. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds in our minds and in our hearts, right? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And here's the issue. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I want to say, everybody look up and we're going to kind of wrap on this thing. Bitterness is a thought that must be taken captive by forgiveness. Does that make sense? So, because here's the deal. That thing called bitterness will war in your spirit, in your body, until you take it captive by forgiveness. It won't go away. It won't blow over. It will just blow up. And we gotta understand that and deal with that, right? And we're going to finish on this, right? Last thing, right? There's a whole lot of biblical examples when it comes to forgiveness or a lack thereof, right? And bitterness. Like Job was bitter because he lost all the stuff, right? And eventually God changed his heart. Jonah, right, was bitter because he hated the people that just overcame Israel, right? Just tore him up. And God had to get him swallowed by a fish to change his mind. You know? Joseph, right? And by the way, could you imagine being Joseph? His family, his brothers sold him. He's doing the right thing. Someone accuses him falsely of trying to rape his master's wife. He goes to prison. He gets lifted up again. And finally, he's made second to the king of Israel, Pharaoh, because of God's power, because Joseph never got embittered, right? And finally, and that's another message, another day, how about Jesus? Remember Jesus on the cross? Look what he said. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And I'll throw this out. Jesus won the battle of spiritual warfare. Remember everyone said to Jesus, if you're God, just get off that cross. Jesus won the battle of spiritual warfare by forgiveness. And forgiveness is the very essence of who God is and who we ought to be. Makes sense, right? So I'm going to leave us with this last thought. So let's make it personal. Is bitterness your battle? We got to grow to be better. By the way, the answer probably is, yeah, it is at times, right? So I'll just throw this out. A couple things we got to do. I encourage you guys, look at your emotions, your words, your thought, your actions over the last couple of weeks and say, how's my heart? What are my thoughts? What are my words? And what kind of behavior do I exhibit? And I'll throw this out. If you're honest, and I'd be honest too, right? Recognize something's there. Confess it to God. Turn away from it. Repent from that sin, right? I'll throw this out. So you know what we got to do then, right? Forgive, right? That might not be easy. Ask God, seek help to forgive and deal with bitterness. Maybe you have been hurt in this life in some ways that are unspeakable. Go to God and say, God, please, please, in the power of your Holy Spirit, help me change. Apply what we learned, right? God's purpose and God's power to change you. Allow your mind to be changed and set free by the word of God and live out your faith step by step. I know this ain't going to be easy. Next week, you will not walk into church and have no bitterness at all, right? That's not going to happen, right, for most of us, right? But step by step, God can pluck out and weed out that bitterness through the power of forgiveness and change us. Amen? We're going to pray. Lord God, speak to our hearts today. I pray, Lord, that this is some tough stuff and we need your help. We need your grace. I ask, Lord, that you would just work in us as only you can in this really difficult area. And Father God, I pray if there's anyone here, as Lord, is just wrestling with this issue, I pray, dear God, that you would just work in their hearts to even reach out and speak to me, Pastor Ansu, a deacon, a close friend, a loved one, to help them, dear God, to move in the direction that you drive us. And I pray it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. We are going to close briefly. Thank you. We're going to close briefly with a song. And Jonathan's going to tell us something. All right. So you want to announce it first and then we'll sing.
Yes, let's just quickly, please. It's very important. Today's our last Vacation Bible School meeting. Immediately after the service, we need you to stay. I know people want to get food. We have about 90 kids that register right now, plus another about 90 staff. So tomorrow, this week, is going to be a busy week, but we all need to be on the same page. So please, if you are working, starting tomorrow, we have lists for people that need to do Vacation Bible School. Please do not leave. Let's move to the front, and let's get to the business. It's a busy day. People need to decorate their classes, and a lot is going on. But we need you to stay here. So right after the closing prayer, Vacation Bible School staff, move up. We can get to the business as soon as possible, and we can move on. Thank you.
Oh,
our benediction, isn't it? Amen. God wants us to shed the bitterness and put on that new man and that new woman, right? And we can do it in his power. So I just encourage you guys, this week you're not going to solve the whole thing. Take a step in God's power. You need help, reach out. We're going to come alongside you with our problems, and we're going to work on it together by God's grace, right? Pastor Anson is going to pray us out. And again, Bible school, we have a quick meeting to just kind of tie up loose ends. And we're looking forward to a great week that God is going to be in every single day. We can. Yeah, if you're a Bible school leader, volunteer, yeah, come on up if you want to do that. That's okay, yeah.
Leaders, volunteers for VBS, come up front, please.
Yeah, if you can, or stand in your spots with you too.
You know, whenever God's children gather together, there is someone in the midst, and it's the devil, right? We're going to be together this week, and we're looking forward for God to do great things in the lives of our children, visitors, friends, even as we share the word of God together and study God's word. And we trust in God that he will do new things in the lives of everyone, even the leaders. And we cannot do it on our own. Only God can help us. So as we unite our hearts, let us pray for our vacation Bible school, our students, the teachers, the leaders, that God himself will be glorified. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank you, Lord. And as we've come, we just pour our hearts and help us, oh God, even from your word that we heard this afternoon, Lord, concerning bitterness. We pray, Lord, that we will search ourselves, oh God, and just seek you, Lord, and trust you, oh God, to take away bitterness from our lives, oh God. And just seek you, oh God, and the Holy Spirit will just lead us. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, for our leaders, oh God, as we prepare for vacation Bible school this week. We ask, oh God, that you give us patience. You give us the hearts, oh God, to be able to share your word, oh God. And Lord, that we'll be able to understand that you have brought us this far to be a workmanship unto you, Lord. And as we interact, oh God, with our students, Lord, help us, oh God, to see it from your perspective, not our own way. And that you would just use us, oh God, to be an instrument, Lord, to glorify you. We thank you for even our students as they come, Lord. Open their hearts, oh God, to be receptive to your word, oh God. And that lives will be transformed, that souls will be saved unto you, oh God. And not only for the fun, but for your glory. And we just thank you from day one up to our closing day, Lord. We present everything. All of our activities, even outside, we still pray for protection, oh God, against harm. Lord, that everything will go well this week according to your plan, not our plan. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.